Andrew Paul Davis, Joe Martin Ricci, welcome.
Hello.
Hi, Julia.
Now, your film, Palace, is doing quite well since its premiere last fall. Andrew, congratulations.
Thank you.
Would you give us a one-sentence storyline?
Palace follows a few different generations of people whose lives intersect. They are strangers on the surface, but as we peel back the curtain, we see that they have similar relational issues.
Very, very interesting. So, idea-wise, where did this come from?
So I lived in Indiana for 5 or so years, and throughout that time had done a series of short films that spanned different decades, and they all were loosely connected based on using some actors again here and there, some props, a bunch of locations, just to kind of drive home this theme a little bit of connectedness through time. And Palace takes place in one period of time, but now it's connectedness through location, but still that kind of unseen connection that people share.
Okay. And Joe Martin, you played that retired, washed-up musician character, Chuck. What was it like?
Well, it was a real life thing for me, being a washed-up anything. Actually, Chuck is a musician, but he's also got a really interesting past that is not necessarily explained. And so some of these interconnected characters, for example, are related to him, but we don't know in the film until it moves along a bit that they are related to him. But he's a heart patient, which I am. He's an alcoholic, which I'm not. And he's a musician with a really nice touch, which I am.
Yeah.
No, so it really felt good to sink my teeth and soul into this part. When I first read it, I was sort of blown away that I would get a chance to do it.
And besides a director-actor relationship, which of course you guys have now, you two do have a past. And what is that?
I was a theater minor at Taylor when I went to college, and Joe is an English professor, and we always had a vicinity to the theater, and I was also an English minor and took a couple classes under him, so we were always near each other.
And Andrew was had a big role in my production of Antigone, and because he does this so well, he shot the trailer for us, and at about the same time, he made a couple of short films that I was in, and he was in my Shakespeare class.
He couldn't not be.
Yeah. Plus, I just knew he was doing interesting things, and so I was always kind of keeping tabs on him and asking him what he was doing.
Wonderful. Okay, Andrew, was it as easy and obvious to cast the rest of the leads in this story as it was putting Joe in his part?
Yeah. Well, Joe is the only person who I was like, if he can't do this, I don't know who I'm asking. Okay. I think writing for people you know and for actors you know is so helpful, and it makes everyone's jobs easier.
It's just very Shakespearean. You know, I mean, he wrote his plays with very specific people in mind to play the roles.
So there was more connections than not connected in this movie, it sounds like.
Almost every actor in this film I've directed in a short at some point, so this was sort of bringing everyone on board for this.
And how much of a part does Indiana have in the story itself?
A lot of films are shot in Indiana, and shorts I've done in the past too that are trying to be set somewhere else. I think there's a lot of filmmakers here that deal with a little bit of shame. You know, I want to shoot an indie and set it in Chicago or pretend it's New York or LA. Mm-hmm. But this is shamelessly Hoosier. The geography of the film is such a propelling factor. The characters going to Bloomington is like a big plot point. People reference Gary, people reference Indy. You know, it's shamelessly Hoosier.
Do you think it comes across on the big screen that way?
Yeah, definitely. People are saying, oh, it's so perfectly Indiana. Yeah, people really embrace and see that aspect of it.
And one, maybe the prevailing observation, is the film's convincing delivery. How did you work that magic?
Part of it's getting lucky. Casting is so important, and when you're writing for your cast, 90% of the job is done. When you write the right words for the right people, they're going to come and turn into something beautiful.
And I think I'm going to ask you, Joe Martin, because you do teach these crafts in the classroom. You can't teach that, really, can you?
That realism, it's difficult. I would say a lot of these students have studied with a friend of mine, the head theater prof at Taylor, Tracy Manning, and they get it. They get the both and, the bigger than life theatrical stuff and that quieter, intimate. But I'll tell you, on set, Andrew was very patient. And, you know, that's hard to do because time is money, as they say, and we didn't have any.
Time or money.
Very patient. And it was very relaxed with some people who were not as experienced as, you know, you might have in some films. And boy, I can think of a couple of the people in the film that was so spectacular. That's a tribute to them, yes, but I never knew they had that in them. And yeah. The director saw that in them and he brought it out.
And that in itself kind of is magic.
And I think the writing too. Because actors, having the words to speak.
Yeah, actors have to be comfortable. They're not going to do good work unless they're comfortable. So a big part of the director's job too is not do this, do that. It's creating an environment that is a place where people can work.
And speaking of being comfortable, Joe Martin, you did play music in the film as part of your character. That's comfortable to you, of course, in real life. Did right. it translate easily in front of cameras and on that screen?
Oh, I loved the way we did the character goes up to the room and after a rough day and he pulls out his guitar and he plays a couple songs. I mean, that's really like my life in many ways. And there's a lot of other music in the film, a lot of other people who are actually performing.
So it's part of the...
Music is important to this film and beautifully so, I think. One of the climactic scenes is the young people who finally put on their show in Bloomington and finally perform live. And it's really, really moving.
We look forward to hearing and seeing that, to be sure. Now, what was it like to have Palace featured as an official Heartland Film Festival selection?
It was perfect. It was ideal, for sure. I moved out of Florida the day I found out. I'd packed up stuff from my hometown to move back to Indiana, and I got the notification, and I was driving to Indiana, and I was having a little bit of like a, what am I doing going back to Indiana moment. It was kind of emotional, and I knew it would just be the ideal place for it to be appreciated. It was so fun. I was there almost the whole 10 days. The people there were fantastic and filling up an AMC theater each time, so it was wonderful.
That is a dream come true. And how does that gap between dream and reality, which it seems that you were floating in, how does that fill in as all of this plays out? Are you still feeling that way?
Yeah, something feature filmmaking has really illuminated to me, because this is my first time making a feature, is a new perspective on time, you know? Writing as a 22-year-old, shooting as a 23-year-old, marketing as a 24-year-old. The dream is distant, and I don't even remember what that was anymore. You know, it's you show up that day, and it's performed and shot so much differently in some ways than what you imagined. I think going to set and embracing that is important, and sort of letting go of the dream and embracing the reality.
That's a basic thing in theater as well. It seems like I always like the night of the dress rehearsal when you can't do anything else, basically, honestly. And a mentor of mine once told me that's the time you stand there and say, let go of your dreams. Not in a bad way, but it's like, okay, you had that great dream. You have worked so hard to make that come true. Now this is what you have.
Yeah.
Now you've got to enjoy this. Of course, Andrew's working really hard every day now out here promoting the film and doing that.
That's
so
right.
He didn't have time to dream.
Not this week or a month anyway. So what's it like to go back to normal after such a strong premiere experience, even though you're marketing and doing all of that kind of stuff? Have you gone back to normal? Can you? Is there going to be an old normal going forward now?
Well, the first few days after Heartland were a little depressing, you know, free booze for 10 days, free movies for 10 days. It was an awesome time in Indy. And at that point, it was like, now what? You know, I wasn't expecting distribution. I sort of knew this was coming, this kick it into gear self-distribution. And I think that can be the part where a lot of indie films fold and are just sort of like, we did our thing, let's put it out there and whatever, let's move on. But since then, I've started to, sure, wait on these 30 film festivals, and we have an average of like a 33% selection rate, which I'm super happy about, because that is not the case for short films at all. But there came a point when I decided we need to put on our own screenings and market them in places that potentially has an audience we can tap into. And if in situations where we have to rent, can we offset that with ticket sales? And so far, we've done that.
That to me says, you know, well, Andrew's proud of the work he's done and wants people to see it. But also as an actor in the film, you know, I was like, yeah, I want people to see our work.
Yeah.
And he's out there making that happen and not letting it just, okay, well, that's done. And now I'll go on to my next project. But
right.
It's not really just his project. It's a larger project, and we feel part of that, you know, and
it,
so it's
sounds
pretty great.
Like this whole project has been a group or a communal project, maybe more than most, and I think that's just wonderful. And Joe Martin, since you are not first and foremost an actor, you love acting, and you get to do a lot of that and work within the field there at Taylor, how does it feel to get off the stage and go back to whatever classrooms you're in doing the non-acting part?
Well,
of
I that? Must say, today was the first day of Shakespeare class. And I just came out of it high. Okay. And we missed Wednesday because of the snow and the cold, and I felt sad. And that probably wouldn't be true of everyone in my classes. So Andrew knows I walk into that class and I'm sort of on
ready
high
because
A, I know that stuff like a boss. I'm sorry, I just do. And B, I love teaching it. It's so good. It's such good material.
And
so,
C, you've got a large McCafe in your hand that's almost done.
I always have a big coffee in my hand.
I do see that you guys certainly know each other well. And again, that all makes for wonderful friendship and wonderful movies. And you guys got
some
of
each. Yeah, I should say, like, Andrew often missed Shakespeare class. And that hurt his grade. But he always knew that I said, I know you're out till 2 or 3 in the morning making a film. Because he was always shooting a film while he was at university. You know, and I say, writers, they want to be a writer, they better write. They want to be an actor, they need to audition and act. And if they want to be a filmmaker, they need to be making films, working at some level and making films. And he was pretty much doing it all the time. Yeah, he missed some classes, but he was making a film.
Well, we are certainly looking forward to the screening of Palace right here at Fort Wayne Cinema Center. And what, more than anything else, do you hope that filmgoers will really get from this film and take away with them?
Well, I hope they'll be deeply moved. You know, this is not a movie that moves you through any cliches or through something cheap, but it is a real slice of life of a lot of lives. No one, even the ones we might think of as kind of villains, is like beyond our care, or maybe we might even say redemption. It reminds me of Shakespeare in that way. It's a loving film, but it's not gooey and sentimental. It's loving in that I feel like it loves the landscape, it loves the characters, it loves the story it has to tell. So I hope people will walk away with that. And I know that it happened at Heartland for a lot of people.
I think it's exciting to break new ground. I don't think a genre like this has been done in Indiana, really.
Yeah, it's just a lot of interesting characters.
Some people have told me, oh, I see myself in that character, that character, and that character. It feels like it's a web that invites everyone in at some point. It's all I could ask for, to hear people chuckle and to have some humor. You know, it's not a bleak film all the time. For them to empathize with characters that they wouldn't think they would be able to. That was the goal.
Andrew Paul Davis is director of Palace, the film, and Joe Martin Rickey, one of the lead actors. Thank you so much for sharing this story with us, guys, and congratulations. Well done.
Thank you.
Thank you, Julia.
That was WBOI's Julia Meek, speaking with Andrew Paul Davis and Joe Martin Rickey about Andrew's new film, Palace. The music you're hearing is Broken Beautiful, one of Joe's songs that was used in the movie. You can hear more of Julia Meek's arts and culture coverage on 89.1 WBOI.
Oh, you're broken beautiful. God, I love to see you smile. Yeah, you're broken beautiful. And babe, I think you've earned that smile. You were born on a stormy night. See it in her eyes, they say. Trouble and tears have followed you. Laughter's never far away. I've seen you in the doorway with the come here the look. Seen you weeping down on your knees. Of all of the wonders in this wide, wild world, there's none more wonderful than these. Broken, beautiful, wounded, wild. Do you remember that week in Mexico, darling? Really showed them some style. Brownsville could not hold you, girl. LA just made you frown. You finally kicked him out of Santa Fe. I could have told you he was a clown. I've seen you on your back giving birth to life. Seen you in the depths of hell. They said that Lucifer lived in paradise. For the love of you he fell. A Lucifer sang in paradise. For the love of you I fell. Hell yes, darling. I know you're broken, beautiful. It's a miracle you're still alive. I said you're 3 times a mother, four times a lover. Can't you see I wanna make it five? I could see you like a goddess with your hand on your hips, your hair falling down dark on your breast. They say, here's the age of miracles. I take this one, they can have the rest. Oh, you're broken, beautiful, weary, wild, broken, beautiful, darling. God, I love to see you smile. I know you say you never love again. You need to be alone a while. But if you get back to the Rio Grande Valley, little girl, let down your hair, I'm gonna make you smile. Yeah, they may just call me Lucifer. God, I'm gonna make you smile. Yeah, the angels call me Lucifer. And hell, I'm gonna make you smile. Yeah, you're broken and blessed and beautiful, weary, wounded and wild. So if you find your way back down the highway 281, let this Mercedes boy hold you a while. And if you ever find your way back to Our Lady of Mercy, darling, old Saint Joseph's gonna make you smile. And God, I love to see you smile. And babe, I think you've earned that smile. If there's a God still up in paradise,